Hi there, boys and girls. Yes, indeed. Trying to get all these toys to work all at the same time. Oh, what a treat. Anyway, time for Radio Fishing. It's Fishing Frank in the chair and Robert in the chair across from me. And we're going to do a little different today. We're going to be following on kind of place by place. It's going to be a little mixed up and jumbled, but we're going to try and get through it all. And with Robert's help, guidance, and understanding, this could prove to be, well, it could be, it's going to prove to be another, you know, area fishing report. And what else is it going to be? So, all right, be quiet. Frank, get off the guitar. All right. Oh, you're not on, are you? Okay, get rid of that one. Turn that one up.
Sounds good.
All right, there you are. All right, let's see what we got. Starting off this morning around the 41 bridges.
Well, the 41 bridges, with all that fresh water flowing down, it's kind of getting things a little amped up in weird ways. The snook have been doing pretty okay in the very early hours of the morning, from like 4 o'clock in the morning until just after sunrise. Been also some tarpon of assorted sizes down there throughout the day and the nighttime. That's pretty much about it. Hearing a few oddball instances of trout and some whiting, but the main thing going on has really been those snook and the tarpon.
Okay. Well, you're not feeling good, are you?
No, I just all of a sudden got a weird sniffle going. Kind of weird.
Maybe it was the spider web you ran into when you went to sit down. We hadn't been back here. It's been like 12 days since we did a report. And all of a sudden you're sniffling, you ran into that spider web. Maybe that spider web messed you all up.
Right. Just kind of weird. It just kind of hit me. It's just bizarre.
You want to go get a paper towel or tissue or something?
No, it just...
Okay.
All good.
Alligator Creek. What's going on over there? Just off Punta Gorda.
Mainly at the entrance has been the most good going on. There's been some mangrove snapper there, a few trout, and an oddball pompano. There's also been some pretty big jacks and the occasional group of redfish. I'm not going to really call it a school because they're just like in singles and pairs, it seems like. And the guys are catching all those on both the frozen shrimp, the frozen white bait, and cut ladyfish have been starting to pick back up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's it's been all right. I mean, the early morning bite's been the better thing all around, just because of the it's been so blooming warm during the daytime. Overnight, it kind of cools just a hair, not much, but just enough to kind of get the fish kind of a little bit more active.
Well, no direct sunlight, so it does drop it a bit.
Yeah.
Slide right out to the reef. What's going on at the reef?
Right out there at the Alligator Reef, there's been some Spanish mackerel on the southern end of the reef, with a few small sharks, and then some mangrove snapper scattered throughout the whole thing. Most of that has been to your benefit if you watch the tide right now and following that incoming tide. You know, like you've said before, going out there at high tide means it's over. You need to get out there at low tide and fish while the tide is coming in. Higher salinity on that side as that water flows in through Boca, so it's keeping it definitely a lot more active with that. The fish seem to be following the tide line or getting active during that tide flow.
Okay, so let's see. Let's move over to Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier has been kind of quiet. I mean, there's been a couple guys have caught a couple small sharks. One guy caught a big snook off there the other night while shark fishing on dead mullet. Other than that, I have not heard a whole lot of real positive things there. I don't know if you've heard anything in the past few days or not there. It's always weird this time of year. You get 1 week of a good report and a next week of nothing because of that water flow coming out of the river.
Alright. No, but big old chunks of dead mullet was the snook bait of choice for years.
Mullet head?
Yeah, big old mullet head left in the sun, half rotten. I remember years ago we used to be open 24 hours a day, and we very seldom, you know, even when before we were open 24 hours and after for a while, we never closed till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night because there was so much night fishing because big snook were legal.
Yeah.
So between the big snook and the sharks, we'd go through a lot of mullet, a lot of bait, a lot of rigs, a lot of hooks, and but then they changed the snook laws, and that whole night business just fell into
it killed it.
Into the crapper. There was just, if you know, you can catch the same fish during the day as you can, you know, on, you're just looking for slot fish. So yeah, there was no reason to go out and spend the night to find your 40 inch snook to take home.
And it was amazing how many people used to do that. I mean, I remember it because that was when I first started working here. You know, 18-hour days, you know, being here till midnight, it was pretty cool, because a lot of those guys, 50% of them were old-timers, so they would teach you a lot of really neat little tricks to catch snook. You know, that was cool stuff.
Yeah, remember the first, I don't know if you were here, the very first time Norm ever said, well, can I let my rods here, because I got to go down and do something, and we're like, yeah, okay, and everybody's standing around the counter, and then he leaves and takes off, and the minute his pickup cleared the parking lot, all three of us ran over there and were measuring, and you know,
I don't remember that.
Everything. I think it was before you started working here. I'm 99% sure, but I mean, I had the notebook out, sketching pictures and showing, you know,
his so rig.
All the rig, you know, to catch this big snook. When it was actually really simple.
He was the snook master, a big snook from shore.
Well, you would come with 50-pound mono to a swivel. Mm-hmm. And then you'd go down to another anywhere from 4 to 6 ounce sinker at the bottom, tied on that leader. And before you did that, you ran that leader line through one end of a swivel. Then you actually tied your leader off of that.
Yeah.
And so you'd use a live ladyfish or a live mullet or silver trout or something, you know, 8 to 16 inch fish. And you would put it on there, and the fish could swim around, and it wouldn't tangle up. The swivel would slide up and down the line and allow the fish to swim around the line without tangling everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but that was his secret to getting those big fish, the big live baits with a rig that didn't tangle up.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
So, anyway, let's jump down to Boquilla Jug Creek Shoals.
That's been pretty good. There's a lot of bait down there, especially pinfish. But there's been the redfish have kind of started, some schools of redfish started to move in, so they're breaking up. They're not staying in real heavy schools that I'm aware of. So you're seeing an influx of high slot fish to oversized fish moving up and down on the bars and the flats around there. A lot of snook moving around also of assorted sizes, mostly on the smaller side. Out on those little sandbars out in front of Boquilla, there's been some Spanish mackerel, some bigger trout, and a few tarpon. So it's been kind of a good mixed bag compared to the last couple weeks. It's been weird, but it's this week we've had some good positive different feedback, which is always nice. Changes it up.
Alright, let's jump over to Bull and Turtle Bay.
Bull is definitely doing better than Turtle Bay. The entrance into Turtle Bay has got some snook and a few redfish in it. In the backside, hearing of a few redfish, snook, and small sharks in that deep trough on the very back part of Turtle going towards the Eagle's Nest. And then over there in Bull Bay, more on the north side up by those clam fields, some very good redfish, snook, and some good mangrove snapper, you know, and all that stuff's being caught on, you know, the shrimp, pinfish have really started to turn on very, very well. We're at that time of year where all those little, you know, dime size and nickel size pinfish are now starting to get like 50 cent piece size and a little bit better out there, and the fish are switching over into that. You know, they need that for their wintertime fat storage, so they're still eating white bait and shrimp, but they're transitioning over to stuff with a little bit more substance to it.
You know, it's amazing how you forget how to spell simple words. All right, Cape Hayes Reef, what's going on out there?
Cape Hayes Reef has got some big mangrove snapper on it, and a few small sharks. That's really about the only feedback that I've had out there. And there again, that was on an incoming tide for two different gentlemen that I'm aware of.
All right, now,
weird part is like the cobia have pretty much disappeared. I haven't even heard of any juvenile cobia around lately. You know, because that's usually a pretty good spot for them, and they're just like vanished.
What's going on over by the Cape Hayes Bar, just in the harbor from there?
On the basically on the Turtle Bay side of it, right along the edge of that trough, there's been some nice ladyfish and Spanish mackerel and trout. And then just on the back side of it, there's been a lot of miscellaneous bait, but there's also been some trout, some small sharks, and a few pompano. You know, it's not gangbusters, but it's slow consistent. That's what I would probably call it.
All right. Now, getting out to the deep holes in the harbor, what's going on in the middle of the harbor in the deep holes?
Lots of catfish. That's still
the
lovely
theme.
That's
good news.
Yeah, everyone wants to hear that. The tarpon bite's still been good out there. You just got to weed through the catfish or use catfish for bait, but ladyfish, thread fins, big pinfish, and catfish are working good on those guys. Bait busters are starting to pick up in some of the big storm swim baits.
Okay, speaking of big baits, we've got that one.
Oh, yeah, I want to try that so bad out there.
And then we've got the smaller versions. I bought those because they'll work on the Goliath grouper, Jewfish, and all that, but I'm just positive this is going to be one heck of a tarpon lure.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty amazing.
The action on this lure is amazing, and they're big and they're heavy. There is one small enough to throw on a normal rod. If you had a 40-pound class tarpon rod, you might be able to throw that other bait. But I'm almost thinking it's going to be a drag behind the boat bait. Yeah. You know, let it lay in the current and just, you know, put your trolling motor on slow and just keep twitching that thing, you know, every once in a while, because it's an amazing big old bait. But I'm thinking a little ladyfish scent.
Yeah.
Or trout scent or something. Maybe like some Procure.
I'd do the Procure ladyfish on it is what I would do. Because this is going to that time of year where they're going to start blitzing on the ladyfish if they start to school up.
Yeah, I know the bait's going to look good, but with the dark waters, I almost think you're going to have that scent on it.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, been kind of mulling this whole thing over in my head, and because of the lazy, great swimming action of it, just a little bit of scent on it, and I mean a lot. I mean, I'd just put a little bit back by the tail or
a little
bit
on
the head or something. Yeah, just a little tiny bit. And just to give it a little bit of smell, people always want to overdo the scents. And I mean, a half a drop just rubbed on here and there with your finger would be more than adequate.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I got to hunt.
I think if you went out there like on a breezy day or the afternoon sea breeze when it's kicking, you could get a pretty good drift and get that bait to look pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty good. Now, the smaller one, though, the other one's like 6-8 inches long.
Yeah,
that one I'm sure is going to be the more popular one.
Yeah,
but can you imagine a fish that wrecks on that big one? Oh my God, the bait weighs almost a pound.
But the funny part is we're talking about it for tarpon, and yet it was originally invented and designed for guys fishing for largemouth bass.
Right.
That, can you imagine that?
Yeah, but I mean, I've caught 8-inch bass on a 6-inch lure.
Yeah.
They're just all mouth and attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just wondering, that's what I'm saying, that big one with that tarpon has got to just, you know, the only thing is that big lure is like $35.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you get hit by a shark on that thing?
That's
going to
suck.
I mean, literally, I could see tears. I'm picturing myself with tears in my eyes sitting in the boat going, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I did that with that very first, when Sabeel first came out. I mean, I think it was either my second or third cast off my dock, and I hit the bridge piling and shattered it. You know? It's like, oh, I hurt. So, yep. Yeah, do that with a $35 bait and have a shark eat it. It's got to suck.
All right, so in the holes we got lots of catfish, tarp doing well, catfish, ladyfish, or cut mullet, probably your best bets. And for lures, we get back to the bait buster
and the storm, and even that new Savage, you know, that should be pretty interesting. there has been some scattered little schools of silver trout out there too, especially around marker just south of marker 6 and around marker 5. And I'm sure there's some miscellaneous ones out in the holes. There's a lot of little guys out in the holes. So, something a little different.
All right, we're bopping over to the east side of the harbor. What's going on the east side of the harbor?
That's by far the most productive thing going right now. Once again, the higher salinity, like you've talked about. The redfish are what would technically be the middle of the east side. You know, right above Cormorant Key. Would that be kind of the middle of the east side?
Well, that's what I usually figure is the east side.
Okay. Basically from Cormorant Key south all the way down past Burnt Store. Lots of redfish, both in the bushes, right along the edges of the bushes. And then there's been a few little schools of fish moving out on the bar. And those fish that I've heard about on the bar, both from south of Burnt Store all the way up to there, are in that 24 to 28 inch range, kind of right in the slot. And then there's been also a bunch of little snook scattered all up and down that shoreline too.
Okay. Let's see.
There again, pinfish. Something that you can work slow if you're going to throw artificials. A lot of guys are fishing the small gold spoons this time of year. It's a fairly productive one.
All right, well, let's take a left turn here and go out to Englewood to Tom Adams Bridge.
Tom Adams Bridge, the only thing I've heard about is night fishing out there the last couple days. There's been quite a bit of catch and release snook, some juvenile tarpon, a few small sharks, and some bigger whiting.
You guys don't have to be that quiet. It's just a radio show. I mean, they're, you know, Barb and Steve are sneaking through here like, you know, oh, somebody will hear us. Greg is out back working on the electric thing. What is it? The electrical receptacles? They're right here. All right. Robert, let's get to the Gilcrest Pier.
Gilcrest Pier. We can do that. Gilcrest Pier has been a little bit on the slow side. Been the evenings and early mornings. There's been some jacks. And there's been some jacks coming through in the early mornings and the evenings. Some snook hanging out along the seawall there that are mostly on the small side. And then there's been a couple small sharks there, but it hasn't been on fire by any stretch.
Okay, and what about South Gulf Cove? We don't talk about that a lot. It's hard to get reports out of there.
It's very hard to get reports out of
there. At this time of year, I mean, there's not a lot of people left there.
Right. But even during the wintertime when there's a lot of people there, our reports are so scattered there. It's kind of a bummer because the fishing, I mean, I know, is pretty darn good.
The last thing I heard was, you know, a couple weeks ago with the guys trolling rattle traps for the snook. And there is a lot of fish back there. There's actually quite a few creeks that connect, not quite a few, but a few creeks that actually connect from the canal system out to the harbor. Well, you can't get a boat through there or even a kayak, but the fish can swim back and forth.
Yeah.
Fish get in and out of those canals. I mean, with the locks and, you know, when you look at it, you don't think the fish can actually get out of there, but they can.
Oh, yeah.
So, I really don't know what to say about South Gulf Cove, so we'll move on. Gulf of Mexico. Anybody been out in the Gulf lately?
Yeah, I'm starting to get some mixed reports out there. It's actually pretty impressive. The mangrove snapper kind of moved out just a little bit farther, like that 12 to 20 miles has been more productive for them, with some lanes and a few vermilion. Bonita and Spanish mackerel have also been right at that like 12 to 20 mile mark with some assorted sized sharks following them. You just got to kind of run and gun for them.
Right.
There's a bunch of bait balls out there right now of Spanish sardines. And that 17 to 25 mile mark, guys are actually slow trolling some of the small pre-rigged, I don't know, I would call them dolphin baits.
Right, the, just the regular dolphin getters.
Yeah, and they're picking up some small chicken dolphin in that 2 to 4 pound range. But I've had two reports of sailfish out there. One guy actually landed one. And then the other ones were smaller guys that actually swam by the boat. The one was at 17 miles that the guy landed, and then the other one was out at about 20 miles out where they saw the two. So kind of getting interesting with that. The gag grouper and red grouper have been right at that like 90 to 110 feet of water. It's been pretty productive. I'm starting to get some better gag reports south of Boca Grande Pass. Haven't heard too much north for some reason, even though it's usually a little bit more consistent. For some reason, these past couple reports have been all south. No reports really of any kings or cobia, which I'm sure should be out there, just haven't gotten any. But it's definitely calm enough and nice enough out there. Get out there and check it out.
Cool. Yeah, I'm, alright. Well, from there, let's go all the way back up in the river and up Harbor Heights. Anything going on up there?
Lots of catfish and gar. There has been some tarpon moving around up in there of assorted sizes from literally 10 pounds to 100 pounds. Especially right around the power lines there.
Yeah.
There's been quite a few guys catching lion cichlids right off their docks up there in Harbor Heights right now. A
lot of lion cichlids up there.
Yeah.
I don't know how to spell that.
M-Y-A-N. And then it's 6-C. C-I-C-L.
Mayan word I kind of got.
C-I-C-L-I-D. You know, people don't realize that they're very edible. I mean, they rank right up there with tilapia or Oscar.
Yeah, the Mayan cichlid's actually not a bad addition because the tarpon, the snook on the river are eating, you know, armored catfish. They're definitely going to eat the Mayan cichlids. Once they, you know, a few do it, then they'll all do it.
And, yeah.
You know, so it's not a bad addition. I know invasive species are not supposed to be good.
Right.
But they're not that big, but they're spawning, breeding, trying to make a place for themselves in the world, and that just means lunch for a lot of our bigger fish.
Yeah.
You know, they're just basically bite size. I mean, because they grow fairly quickly, but they don't get all that big full grown that I know of.
No, I think it's like 2 pounds or something like that. Yeah. It's a giant.
So the average ones you're going to get are 6 to 10 inches long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really not bad at all. Okay, leaving the river for a moment, let's get back out in the harbor. Hobbs, Burnt Store, Two Pines, anything going on down there?
A lot of redfish. I mean, the redfish have been along the shoreline and the bars. South of Burnt Store, that whole bar there has had a couple schools of redfish on it, and they're actually pretty decent schools, like 100 to 200 fish. And they're once they get broken up a little bit, they're scattered between the bar and the shoreline both. Most of the guys are catching them on cut ladyfish, live pinfish, cut pinfish. And then the few guys are throwing some gulp and just working it real slow and picking up a few here and there, just relying on the scent more than anything else. And then you always got the incidental chicken snook down there. There's not a lot of big ones.
Okay. All right. Now let's see what we got. All right. Sorry.
It's fun watching him run when he's actually focused.
Yeah. Okay. I guess let's jump back to the river I-75 up there. I haven't really had a lot of reports from up there.
Mm-mm.
I don't really know.
I think the AM's still having a few of those assorted juvenile tarpon around it, but I just haven't had anything positive either. I haven't had anything negative, which is a good thing, but just I don't think a lot of guys are up there looking yet.
Okay, Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier during the daytime has been sketchy. There's been a few mangrove snapper there, and of course a lot of catfish. But the early morning bite's been producing some bigger mangrove snapper right underneath the dock, along with some snook and a few oddball tarpon. And a couple guys have hooked into some really big gar there. Guy was impressed by it. He got like about a 4.5-5 footer the other day that he hooked up and got it right up next to the pier before it actually let go of his bait. He's like, I fought it for 5 minutes. I don't know how the heck it let go of its bait, let go of the hook. Mm-hmm. Like, they do that. Kind of fun. He was super excited. He was from, I think, Kansas or someplace like that. So he was just totally excited. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when it's unexpected, you know. They're like, I'm just fishing for whatever. And everyone's telling me about these shark and cobia. And I catch this thing that prehistoric looking pike.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody's from up north and they have not, you know, fish down here, and they don't understand, they love to hit the pike and the muskie, and all of a sudden you hit a 60-pound gar. That's, I mean, it's the southern equivalent of a northern pike, you know.
Yeah.
Far, not, well, I guess even eating wise, because pike are not that great. I mean, I've pickled pike and all that. I know, yes, I know you love to eat pike, but, you know, as far as it goes, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, I've eaten a lot of pike as a youngster, but.
Never had it.
Not up my favorites thing.
I've heard mixed reports on it. The guys that love it absolutely like love it and swear by it, and then the other guys are like, it's good, but just not worth the effort because of the bones or whatever reason it is.
Yeah,
you never hear anyone say it's horrible,
right?
But it's kind of funny that it's okay, or that's my favorite thing around next to walleye. Okay.
Okay, let's switch gears, throw it back in the fifth, hit Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, there's a lot of redfish in there. Two schools of big redfish have come in through Stump Pass, from what I've heard from a couple people. So, basically, from literally like, that slow speed zone there, right there, close to Placido, all the way up to just to the Tom Adams Bridge. Fishing any of the docks and deeper grass flats, there are a good number of redfish throughout there. And there's also been quite a few snook out there too, because you got a lot of those snook moving off the reefs, a few snook moving off the beaches. The closer you are to the pass, it seems like there's a better concentration of the snook there. Other than that, that's about all I've been hearing anybody rave about, is just the bigger redfish there. Usually you hear about the trout and other stuff, but the reds are definitely the king.
Alright, now going down to Matt Lachey, cross and south.
I haven't heard anything but a few redfish just south of Matt Lachey out there on those flats. I haven't heard a good report on the tarpon, nothing. It's kind of weird. I don't get it. Usually we're a little bit more consistent than this with the Matt Lachey area, but this last few weeks have been sketchy at best.
Okay, now to the Micah River, Elgin Pier, Micah Cutoff, Cattleback Point, the Locks, Tippy Canoe Bay, 14-foot hole. Anybody around any of those places?
Well, there's tarpon scattered out there from the mouth all the way up to Elgin Pier. And then there's been a few incidental redfish right there on the outside of Hog Island all the way up to Tippecanoe. And then Eljo Bean itself has had scattered tarpon of assorted sizes, especially in the evening throughout the whole nighttime. Been a few black drum, bigger mangrove snapper. And then there's actually been some pretty good sized snook there. obviously from your news report the other night, there's actually a few snook there.
Yeah.
That's always a hot spot for that. It's just...
Yeah, it's amazing how many people poach. I mean, it's basically a selfish, greedy, self-serving thing when you take a fish out of season or undersize or oversize. It's
he
not
didn't look
about
like he was starving to death.
It's not about the fish. It's not about the ability. It's about, you know, ego, greed, because... You know, the reason we have the rules is because we have a huge snook population. I mean, we have Southwest Florida catch and releases a million snook a year plus.
Easily.
And the reason we can do this is because of the rules and the law. It's not about what taking your away your right to have a fish. It's not about taking something away from you. It's about sharing with everybody and sharing with my kids, my grandkids, eventually even great-grandkids or whatever. All these other people, everybody has a right to, or it's not a right to catch fish. You don't have a right to catch a fish. It's a privilege to be allowed to go out and do this stuff. It's not a right, it's a privilege. We confuse, we have rights to do this stuff. We have the right to go here or go there. No, we have the privilege of not being stopped to do this or do that, or being allowed to do this or that. They're privileges. I mean, because of the way our country was founded, we confuse right with privilege.
All the time.
And... You know, when it breaks it down, you have the privilege of sharing fish with everybody. And then you've got September, October, November, December, March and April, you know.
September, October, November.
September, October, November, March and April.
December 1st is done.
But, you know, we've got 5 months a year to get some snook to eat.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the challenge and the trick of it all. It's not what can you do out of season. I mean, I can go out of season and pretty much drive down any road almost in any state and shoot a deer because they're not in season and they're just walking up to you, hey, how you doing? You know, they know it's good. But
exactly.
It's not, you know, it's just a self-centered ego.
Self-serving.
That's the word I was looking for, self-serving. You know. And it's not about following the laws or the rules or anything else. It's about sharing with family, friends, neighbors, people you don't even know.
Yes.
That's what it's for. And we confuse rules, and people want to immediately think you're taking away my right to do this or right to do that. No. If we had taken everything we wanted to take, there would have been none left for him to poach it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point they don't get. It's not, you know, if we've been fishing down here, I've been fishing here for 30-some years.
Yeah.
And if I had taken every snook that I had ever caught instead of releasing it, I can promise you there'd be a lot less snook out here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and every person on my boat who ever wanted to keep fish in season, out of season, their snook fishing would have been over by this time.
A lot of fish would be over.
You know, I mean, there'd be a few around, but it wouldn't be where you could go down and have a very good chance of catching one. I mean, a really, really good chance of catching one. And it's not about, that's what I don't get people. They always want to look at the dark side of it, what affects them. They don't see how they can help affect everybody else, how much better they can make the world and make it good for everybody instead of just for them. And that's my problem with all that.
No, so, it's true.
Anyway, getting around Tippecanoe Bay, what were you saying about that?
Been some redfish up there right at the mouth there of Tippecanoe and the north end of the Myakka Cutoff. Been a few pompano kind of scattered in there too. Nothing really targetable, but definitely some bycatch going on. I really haven't heard anything inside the cutoff this past week, though. I don't know what you might have heard.
No, I've been kind of dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
Our shiner tanks are all down. And I got a notice from the Department of Revenue that the people that we had doing our payroll and everything else did not file the quarterly tax returns, and so I've been dealing with the Department of Revenue, the IRS, the, you know, the shiner tanks all crapped out. I got to put all the new shiner tanks in. Plus, going out trying to
make
find
good a, make a good country song.
Yeah, yes, yes. This is, my life would be a great country song right now. And what's really funny is I do classify myself as one of the luckier individuals. I mean, I get to do this for a job, but
right.
You know, get to do this for a living, but it's still sometimes a bit overwhelming. All right, let's move on down to the passes. We've got Ponarasa, Redfish, Captiva, Boca Grande Pass, and Little Gasparilla Pass, and Stump Pass, and I guess I should add to that Venice Inlet.
Yeah, that would actually be a good one to mix in there.
Mm-hmm. Because we've had that on a separate thing, and I think I'm just going to add it to this. Keep adding and multiplying and changing this stuff around.
Well,
but all right, pick a pass. Tell me what's going on.
Well, let's start at Venice.
All right.
Venice Inlet has got a ton of mangrove snapper, a whole lot of good-sized snook mixed in around it. There's been some big bull reds at night moving in and out of there, and then a few Spanish mackerel during the daytime.
Okay.
And then basically Stump Passes, a good mixed variety out there at Stump Pass, a ton of snook, some good sized redfish during the day and at night, getting some big jacks and occasional blue runners coming through there, and some pretty good sized whiting also.
Okay.
Boca Grande, Little Gasparilla, mostly mangrove snapper is about all I've heard about of anything worth wild.
What was it?
Boca Grande and Little Gasparilla both have been mainly mangrove snapper. I haven't heard of anything super exciting other than the mangrove snapper in those two passes.
Okay.
Going down to Captiva Pass and Redfish Pass, lots of big snook, some big redfish. Been a few legal gags being caught out of both of those also. And then a couple small sharks of variety species. Yeah, it's been kind of good. You know, Boca Grande's just been the real odd one. Usually that's pretty good on either edge, especially if you find that cleaner water. But I just haven't heard anything worthwhile this week.
Okay. Let's see. That leaves us with Ponarasa. Anything?
Ponarasa's had, you know, down around Ponarasa and Sanibel. I mean, there's big snook under all those docks. Redfish are starting to move in a little bit. And a lot of tarpon right around the causeway there. And some of those deeper flats just off the edge of the channel there around the causeway.
Okay. All right. Taking another turn, way up the river by the water treatment plant, and seeing some tarpon up there.
Yeah, this is the time of year when you get the tarpon moving around, kind of anticipating some of that heavy freshwater flush to push down the armored catfish and the cichlids and tilapia. Plus, I think you get that crossover factor too, where those fish are not just migrating up there for the food, but you're getting some of the fish that are going to migrate up there that are going to stay for the winter.
Well, that would be the tarpon, the snook, stuff like that.
Yeah, not so much for the snook yet. You know, the snook are usually a good month or two behind them. Most of those snook, I personally feel that most of the snook that are up there right now are the ones that stayed up there all summer long.
Okay. And I'm not sure I follow what you just said.
The tarpon that are up there now are the ones that have kind of migrated out of the harbor a little bit. But you've got both fish that are going to stay up there.
By those fish, you mean the tarpon?
The tarpon, yes.
Okay, because when you were saying fish, I was thinking of different species that might be moving up there. You were confusing my issues.
Sorry.
All right.
I think it's just more the tarpon kind of go up there, but I think half of those fish actually stay up there, and then the other half actually get ready to boogie back out to the center of the harbor to slowly, as fall comes along, to leave entirely to go to Central America, Africa, wherever else they go.
All right. And with all the fresh water coming down, it's a good time to go up and try your hand a little bass fishing up the river.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot of largemouth that move down river at this time of year with the fresh water, and they will recede and head back up river as the salt forms its way back up once the rivers quit flowing. But a lot of the bass come down to feed in different areas. I've actually seen bass at the 41 Bridge several years ago during a really particularly rainy summer, and the largemouth had come all the way down to the 41 Bridge.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
That would be an oddball catch for anybody,
but
I would think.
Right now, if you go up by the Fort Ogden Trestle, 761 Bridge, the water treatment plant, you're likely to find tarpon, snook, or largemouth bass in those same areas, along with some bluegills and the other stuff that usually hangs out a little further upriver. Right. But there is a limited shot at those, because as soon as the rain's done and the rivers start settling down, those fish will push back upriver.
Yeah.
So, Pine Island Sound, we're going to drop all the way back from the Peace River all the way down.
That's
out
one
towards
extreme or the other on the map.
Yeah, yeah. It's alphabetical order today.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Pine Island Sound's been doing really good. There's a lot of redfish down there. All those islands and some of those deeper flats are showing some good signs of redfish. It's kind of cool because the redfish have been virtually invisible this whole year. And now that the rain's finally kicked in, it seems to have dumped them all out all over the place. It's kind
of
cool.
I'm wondering if some of them weren't hiding in a lot of little creeks and, you know, just back in the places out there, just kind of getting away from it all. And then all of a sudden the rain came and they went, you know what, okay, time to go out.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
We see a lot more schools of redfish at this time of year because this is the time of year when the adults just start coming up. And adult redfish do not live in Charlotte Harbor. They live in the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic. Our redfish can go to Louisiana or to the Carolinas.
To Maryland.
Maryland, wherever. I mean, these redfish go everywhere. And they come back here to spawn, but they also come back to pick up new members of the group in the school. And so the big adult redfish come in, and the ones in the harbor that are big enough to do the journeys they do offshore, the big pelagic runs that the redfish do, they leave with the adults.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, like, the adults only come back every year or every couple years to do the spawning thing.
And you know what's cool is we actually, those schools of fish, we share them with Tampa Bay. They've actually satellite tagged a bunch of them, and they actually go from here to Tampa Bay, from Tampa Bay back to here. They'll actually jump back and forth over the course of that, you know, 8-week period where they're really schooled up heavy in the Gulf. So we actually share those fish both with their fry and the adults. It's kind of cool.
So just like a sailor. They go out, they got a girl in every port, you know.
Yeah.
Come down here, you got Sally in Port Charlotte, they go up, they got Lucy in Tampa, you know, they got to run back and forth between the two.
Yeah, busy life.
Too much work for me.
Way too much work.
Yeah, way too much work.
You know what I would like to know, though, is redfish, when they school up, why is it that, or how is it that they school up like cookie cutters? If they're 30 inches, they're all like 29 to 31.
Very, very close, yeah.
If they're 18 inches, they're 17 to 19 inches. It's just, it amazes me.
They're, you know, the one that when the eggs hatch and the fry comes out, it's safety in numbers.
It's safety in numbers.
It's like us with identity theft. There's no way to protect yourself against identity theft. You're a bait fish in a school,
mm-hmm.
you know, and are they going to get him instead of you?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, your social security number, all your information is all over the internet everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way to hide from it. You know, people say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. It doesn't matter. If they're going to get you, it's flipping a coin.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the redfish. So when they grow up, all these schools, and most animals, I think, recognize, you know, family, other creatures by smell.
Yeah.
And maybe they're like, you know, hey, you're my cousin.
Mm-hmm. It just amazes me how they find each other, though. I mean, it's just like, how is it that this group here is this size and literally 10 miles away or 4 miles away, it's a totally different school and a totally different size, but they're all within that 2 inches of each other. It's a trip.
Let's go back to the hatch, you know, and one thing I'm absolutely know about fish is if that fish is bigger than you, it will try to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you have a redfish, once the eggs go out and the fry hatch and all that, that is food for other redfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, little snook are food for big snook. When you see a fish, if it's bigger than you, you don't want to be around it. Yeah. It will eat you. And if, you know, if you're bigger than the other fish, you're going to try and eat it. So it just makes sense they're going to try and hang around in fish that are about the same size.
Yeah, I like that theory. I mean, that's a cool theory. It's different. I never really gave that much thought. It's just kind of neat.
Jumping from Pine Island Sound, let's just go north up the intercoastal, hit Placida. What's going on in the trestle?
Placida's been doing pretty well. Daytime, you've got a few oddball Spanish mackerel, some sharks of assorted sizes and species. Been a very few trout coming through there, and some mangrove snapper. But during the nighttime, that seems to be when it's really kicking on good. A lot of snook, some bigger bull reds, and much larger mangrove snapper, especially just literally right underneath your feet. And then there's also been some tarpon incidentally being caught off of there too with some of the shark fishermen. I haven't heard of any big sharks caught off of there, but they're trying. So it's been, that would be my personal bet if I was fishing from shore right now. I'd be doing the Placida thing just because it's kind of consistent.
Right.
Not gangbusters, but consistent.
Yeah, and it's being right there on it, next to the trestle, staying by the structure, that really helps.
Yeah.
Speaking of structure, let's go to the other fast-moving water around here. Really, the only really fast-moving water we have up in the upper harbor is Ponce de Leon Park.
Yeah.
I mean, that's miles and miles of canals trying to dump out of one inlet, and that creates some really good water flow. And I've been hearing a lot of small snappers, not much in keeper size, but a lot of snappers, a lot of activity fish.
Yeah, a lot of the mangrove snapper and the smaller size, obviously. Been a good assortment of snook, mostly on the smaller side also. But there has been a few oddball black drum coming through. They're not the giants that you're used to seeing, but they're in that like 20 to 25 inch range. And then there's also been a whole bunch of juvenile tarpon and jacks coming through there also. You know, so it's been kind of not too bad. Definitely your only real good spot for this end of the harbor.
Yeah, it's the most consistent. It's probably the best place to take like kids just to have some activity going on and actually catch a fish.
Right.
And whether you're using live shrimp or pieces of shrimp or really whatever, you know, you can probably catch a fish there. It's still one of the more consistent spots. Now, they reopened Port Charlotte Beach. The pier is up and fishable again. And I've heard a few different fish around over there.
I've heard of a few, just not anything super great. Some mangrove snapper, an oddball redfish, and some snook, but it's been pretty quiet over there. You know, even around the boat ramp, which usually holds some jacks and snook and stuff, I haven't heard chaos going on.
Yeah. So
I'm with the last one. I'm going to go over to Ponce instead of the beach, personally.
Yeah. No, Ponce is still the better bet. But, you know, there is some fish over there. We have been hearing guys catching some over there. Going from Port Charlotte Beach, what's happening in the canals over in Port Charlotte?
Right at the miles have been the better bet. It's kind of slowed down a little bit. Last week, well, 2 weeks ago when we had all that rain, it kind of got things fired up for a good week or so. But now it's kind of petering out. Some jacks. Right at the mouths, some mangrove snapper, whole lot of juvenile tarpon. This year's been incredible for the assortment of juvenile tarpon around. I mean, not only are they just in East Spring Lake and Edgewater Lake, they're right at the mouths of just about every canal that I'm hearing about. Guys are seeing them way up in Ackerman and the Manchester Waterway, even the Pelham Waterway. Some people are seeing a good number of tarpon up in there. So it's been kind of cool for that.
Yeah, in the next few years, we're going to see a huge, huge boom in the tarpon fishing. With so many canals, I mean, PGI is full of them, Port Charlotte's full of them. What about the spillways along 41? Anybody fishing them with the water flowing?
I haven't heard of anybody fishing them, which is odd. Because, I mean, they should have snook and juvenile tarpon around them right now. But I haven't heard of anyone trying them out.
Lot of rocks they put in to support everything. Mm-hmm. And so the guys who are fishing the spillways and areas along under 41 and stuff are encountering a lot more lost lures than before. Because they're not used to the way it's all laid out. So right. What they were doing, the lures they did use, they're losing to the rocks. There's a lot more obstruction there now. And It's going to be a learning curve.
Yeah, it's going to take them a year or two to learn it and figure it out.
I think Charlotte County might have got one thing right. And I mean, for this county, that's like saying, you know, the skies parted, the sunbeams came down. You know, we have the worst, you know, county planners on the planet. I mean, I don't think you could put together anything as ridiculous as what Charlotte County does. And I have to say, there had to be somebody else come step in and say what they were going to do to that.
Yes.
It actually is working. We're getting a lot better water flow. Everything's working. I can't believe they actually got it right. But anyway, let's see.
Yeah, it'll be neat to see these guys as they learn it over the next 2 years, and especially once we get into winter time, where you can go over there and get there on some of those really brutal northeast days with a low tide and really get a good visual to kind of get a better idea on what those new bridges and the little spillway areas look like. That'll be the easiest way to dial in those spots.
All right. Well, drop all the way down to the bottom of the harbor, Ponarasa, Sanibel Island.
A lot of tarpon around the Sanibel there. I mean, it's been really, really, really good. There's also been a few bigger black tips being down in there with an oddball bull shark here and there. I haven't heard of too many of the juvenile sharks, but I'm sure there's plenty of them in the immediate vicinity along the flats there and along the edge of the channel. The snook have started to move in a little bit heavier, along with some bigger bull reds around the pilings and some of those docks there around Ponarasa by the houses and hotel right there.
Okay. Alright, going up to Venice Inlet.
Venice Inlet, we did that earlier with the pass. We moved
to
the passes.
Sorry about that, we moved that to the passes. What's going on the west side of the harbor?
Dead. All that fresh water really killed it. Carl was out there the other day, and he seems to be the master of the west wall, and he said it was like a ghost town. He struggled to find just a couple of redfish over there.
Oh, well. All right. To give me the last little thing I need here is a whitebait report. Anything?
Yeah, the east side has really got quite a bit of whitebait all over on the bar. Pirate Harbor is pretty much one of the main areas where most of the guys are fishing for them at, but from the midpoint, like Cormorant Key, all the way down to Burnt Store, you'll find some white bait. You just got to chum for a little bit. Or if you're real lazy, you can just look for some of the other boats that are out there chumming up and wait for them to finish up and go back over in that spot.
any place else?
Devilfish has got some. And then also I'm hearing some little bit better around the I don't know what you call that second channel over there by Boca Grande along the trestle there that goes out straight
right
out to Little Gasparilla Pass.
Yeah, that right next to the causeway.
Yeah, you know, no, not the causeway, the next one down closer to Uncle Henry's. You know, it's kind of in between the second bridge, basically the second bridge around Boca.
Yeah.
Right there at that trestle, they've been getting some better white bait and some actual big threadies. That's the other weird one this year. I haven't heard of a lot of big thread fins out in the middle of the harbor. They're there, but just not in really killer numbers. The ones that are there, they're not showing themselves. You're seeing them if you're sitting there chumming, you know, for sharks, hanging a chum bag over the side. You know, they seem to come around that a little bit, but...
Well, they're staying deep.
Yeah.
They're learning if they show themselves at the surface.
They're getting crushed by every cast net in town.
Yeah, the boats all just run in, and they got tons of, cast nets being thrown at them. They're learning to stay deep.
Yeah, kind of interesting. And the pinfish are all over on any of the grass flats right now, and they're just that perfect, you know, 50-cent piece to 3-inch size, you know, which is ideal for your reds and your snook and even your tarpon. And if you're heading offshore, they're like mangrove candy.
Right.
You know, a lot of people get so used to using shrimp and little cut pieces of bait for mangroves offshore and even in the passes, and they overlook the fact of how phenomenal those little 50-cent piece pinfish can be. You know, they're amazing bait.
So, anyway, anything that we need to go over that we didn't talk about? So mixed up, I really don't know where we went, but
yeah.
I had to get two reports done today, so... Hey,
we did it, you know, and it's kind of neat doing it a little differently.
Yeah.
I would say the main thing is, like, the offshore is kind of getting silly out there. I think over the next month we're going to see some really cool stuff, especially with the pelagic fish.
I'm really interested in the sailfish, the mahi-mahi, some of the stuff that's, you know, this time of year you can get... Now, I did see a report about a major dead zone coming out off of the Mississippi and some of the other places where it's expanding rapidly.
Yeah.
So we could see more of an influx of fish closer to shore within the 100-mile range here on this side, even within the 30 to 50-mile range.
Right.
More mahi-mahi, more sailfish and all the big fish.
Tuna.
Yeah, the
maybe
tuna.
Maybe wahoo.
Yeah, a lot of the fish that usually hang out in much deeper waters out in the middle of the Gulf, I think, are going to start looking for food.
Yeah.
And
well, and we had such prevailing winds all through July coming out of the west, and for the last 2 weeks they're coming out of the west pretty hard.
Right.
I think that broke up some of that sargassum and pushed it in a little bit closer, which always brings those fish following that, too.
Okay, well, let's see.
A lot of cool stuff, basically. If you're going offshore, just be prepared for just about any possibility.
All right, well, this is Fish and Frank, Radio Fishing, our Area Fishing Report for 8/12/2015.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, 31 years ago when I came in the story, it was yesterday and a couple of lifetimes ago, all in the same thing.
It's amazing.
You know, you're getting right up in there, 17, 18 years. I mean,
you always used to tell me the guys that come in with their kids now, and I'm seeing the same thing. You know? Yeah,
you're seeing the people who came in with their parents are now the parents bringing their kids in.
Yeah,
and
their kids' first cast net, and now that guy's coming in and buying his kid his first cast net. It's like, wow, this is a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird what... What
it
happens
is cool.
with all that?
It
so,
is cool.
Anyway, this is
Frank.
Fish and Frank, yes. Yes, that's who I am, and Radio Fishing, and just another day in the life. I have no idea how all this works. How did I get into all this? But anyway, we are here. We are.
People are lucky.
Yeah, we're still here.
People are lucky.
Yeah, we're still here. So, anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Time to go plumbing new shiner tanks.
Yay.
Yeah, Plumber Frank. Okay. Why can't I be Fishing Frank just for a week or so? So, anyway, we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing.